It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Nearly a half million people struggle with hunger in Wisconsin, and that's according to Feeding America. We hear from two groups working on this issue, and you can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question, share comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. TJ Atkins is executive director of the Community Table in Eau Claire, the organization serving a daily meal to the public year-round. TJ, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
Good morning, and we have Liz Seafelt with us, executive director of the Brick Ministries. That's a faith-based nonprofit helping low-income residents of Ashland and Bayfield counties. Liz, welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you, Kate.
Liz, let's start with you. How does the Brick Ministries support people living in Ashland and Bayfield counties?
Sure, thank you. We operate two programs. Most people know us through our food shelf program. We operate four pantries throughout our region where we see folks who are at or below 200% of federal poverty level. And then we also operate what we call a benevolence program. We offer a modest amount of emergency financial assistance with a focus on helping people get into or retain their own housing. In addition to that financial assistance that we're giving to, for instance, overdue rent, overdue utility bills, and motel vouchers for people without permanent housing, we're also providing referrals to other community agencies, programs, to make sure that folks are getting plugged into long-term resources.
What have you seen through the benevolence program? What impact has it made?
Well, that's a tough one because the folks who are using the benevolence program are really the most in need, at the very bottom. And so things are tenuous for folks who use our services through that program. Really, we understand that folks aren't making enough money, whether it's earned income or through Social Security or whatever it might be, to meet their daily needs. So for many folks, it's kind of a shell game. Which bill do I pay on time this month? It's incredibly challenging, and honestly, it's a tough needle to thread.
TJ, as we talk about meeting daily needs, how does the community table affect food access in the Eau Claire area?
Well, we provide a daily meal, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's through our connection with Feed My People for those donations. So we provide that meal service. And then we also have a monthly food pantry, depending on what we have available for food. But just like Liz, we are seeing people struggling with that. And as we head into winter right now, it definitely becomes a shell game of what they want to pay in terms of their heat, their rent, and things of that nature, where we can help provide some relief with providing a free meal every single day.
Do you find that you have enough inventory at the food pantry?
Oh, yes. It's surprising. So when I hear on people talk about there's a food shortage, you would not know that from our end of it. Our food donations have gone up ever since beginning of the pandemic. Each year, I think last year we did 130,000 pounds of food. So we're now able to offer not only their daily meal, but usually kind of like a grocery bag, a snack item. So our guests will leave here sometimes with not only their hot meal, but also like a bag of things that they can use throughout the week as well.
Is that the community stepping up? Who is stepping up so that you do have enough to give out?
So it's kind of a mix of everything. So between our partnership with Feed My People, we do the food rescue from Target and then Holiday. But then we also have additional partnerships like Panera, Subway, Quick Trip, Cookie Crumble gives us donations as well. Just a ton of those types of donations. But then we also have community donations. You know, the summer came along with all the vegetables and gardens and everybody had extra. So they brought those extras to us. So we're able to provide a great amount of food to our community members.
Liz, what do you experience at the Brick Ministries for food pantries?
As
in terms of inventory and what you're able to offer, yes.
Yeah, we are really proud, if I can use that word, of the wide variety of food that we offer in all the food categories and in a lot of different forms. Certainly, there's the standard, what you would think of as commodity foods that are canned or, you know, dry packaged vegetables, grains, that kind of thing. And we're also offering breakfast items, shelf-stable and refrigerated beverages, milk primarily, but also a really wide variety of shelf-stable proteins, including things like walnuts, or I think at one point we had some pistachios, and then frozen proteins, meats, fish, poultry, that kind of thing. And our resources to get all those are incredibly generous and very strong. Primarily, there's the Emergency Food Assistance Program, a federal commodities program, and then we also source food from our regional food bank, which is Second Harvest Northern Lakes Food Bank, a member of Feed America. The retailers that we rescue food from under Feeding America's food rescue program, and then other local retailers who are also rescuing food for us.
I wonder, that's okay. TJ, I just wanted you to pick up on food rescue there for a moment and these partnerships mm-hmm. with restaurants and retailers. Is that the future of stocking, you know, for food operations?
I think definitely there's food that it can be still used within a certain amount of time. And so if they have large quantities of it, then we can get that out to people. So I do think that that is a possibility, you know, going towards the future. We have places in other countries where they actually have stores where people can get basically food, but they purchase it at a reduced rate because it is food that might have come from a restaurant or something like that. So I think it is a possibility going in the future, especially as I keep seeing the continuation of the amount that is being donated. And where does this food go? And I know that we're not even collecting all of it in our area. So what happens to stuff that doesn't get picked up?
With the community tables meal every day, is it the same people served every day? Do you see new faces?
We have seen new faces ever since the pandemic. And so before the pandemic, I could look out and probably name about four or five of our regulars. Now, it's not the same. We have almost new people every single day. And so it's interesting to see that change as well as the demographic change. In terms, it seems to be like our younger families. We've had an increase in families coming in to see us now as well. So it's just very interesting times that we're in as we're transitioning through this pandemic and what does the world look like now.
TJ Atkins oversees the community table in Eau Claire. Liz Seafelt leads the Brick Ministries, which supports low-income families in two northern Wisconsin counties as we talk about food and housing insecurity. You can join in with your questions and comments at any point, 800-642-1234. Liz, what are you learning about food insecurity from the people you serve?
Well, food insecurity is on the rise. I think your previous guest, Brad Paul, talked a little bit about the sunsetting of federal programs after the pandemic. And that certainly has a dramatic impact on our pantry shoppers. We've had a big increase in the numbers of people that we're serving since the discontinuation of the additional food share benefits that were connected with the pandemic. So we've had an increase of 20% from between this year and last year of pantry usage, the number of people.
Do you find that you have enough volunteers to serve the community?
No, we do not. That's a hard one. Volunteerism just in general is on the decline even before the pandemic, but the pandemic really was a point that changed how people look at their lives and prioritize their activities. And so volunteerism has really gone down over the last several years. And we're always looking for volunteers, whether it's, you know, once a month or once a week. We're happy to have you.
Let's hear a voice. This is a person who is experiencing homelessness in Milwaukee called The Sanctuary and interviewing a shelter staff about their experiences. Here's Aaron talking about the difficulties of being homeless without having the support of family.
I was homeless. Did a lot of undesirable things. Stealing, robbing, breaking in people's houses, cars. I had a drug addiction. My family, they wouldn't help me. They turn their back on me when they see me coming. They pull down the shade, take the phone off the hook.
There is a lack of family support there. Liz, how common are these experiences in northern Wisconsin?
Well, some people think that homelessness is only an urban condition, but homelessness is everywhere. So we have an extremely sparse and rural population. The two counties together, are the population is maybe 30,000. So last year, we at the BRIC serviced just under 175 individuals without permanent housing. 175 doesn't sound like that much, except for the fact that we're really have such a tiny population. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's not all the people who are homeless in our community.
TJ, how would you respond to what you heard there from Aaron, who found that just a lack of support from their, you know, surrounding family members?
Mm-hmm. Well, and another thing to note, though, it's usually not, they're not even in the same area where their families are. We've mm-hmm. noted that a lot of our guests, you know, are transit from all kinds of different parts of the U.S. that are coming through just periodically. So, you know, half the time their family doesn't even know where they're at, let alone mm-hmm. to help them navigate where they're at and what they need. And so it is a challenge for them. And I do hear that quite often. You know, they feel like they're not seen or they're not wanted. And we try to create an environment for that where that's contrary to that. And so
how do you do that?
Well, we have our volunteers that are help. So we greet our guests. We actually have conversations with them. We eat meals with them. There's music playing, you'll hear. We'll have some guests like to tell jokes amongst themselves. They kind of build their own community as well when they're visiting us. And so they look forward to seeing each other. And so even if their family is not near or close, they kind of create their own family kind of network within our organization.
TJ Atkins heads up the community table in Eau Claire, serving a meal a day throughout the year. Liz Seafelt leads the BRIC Ministries, assisting low-income residents in Ashland and Bayfield counties in the North Woods. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn about the connection between hunger and homelessness and explore the work of two organizations working on this issue in northern and west central Wisconsin. TJ Atkins is executive director of the Community Table in Eau Claire, and Liz Seafelt is executive director of the BRIC Ministries with programs in Ashland and Bayfield counties. You can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. Share your views. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Casey in Watertown. Hi, Casey. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to the individual from the community table. I know sometimes it's a thankless job, but I relied on that for several years when I was in Eau Claire. Sometimes that was the only meal I had a day. And I just really appreciate the time and effort and the resources that you guys put into that.
Casey, can I ask, in that time you turned to the community table, was that like your only meal for the day?
So at times, yes.
Mm. How did you recover from that?
Well, for starters, I stopped using drugs. That was a big part of it. But I would if I was in Eau Claire and the time was right, I'd go there today. Because I mean, I had never, and I know, like I said, I know it's a thankless job. I've, you know, sometimes people would complain about the food, and I mean, I've never had a bad meal there. And you know, I would go there today just for the meal. I mean, if I was in Eau Claire.
Did you find it a welcoming space? Did you find community to talk with?
Absolutely. Especially after they opened the doors again after COVID, where people could go in there, you know, and drink some coffee and socialize.
Casey, are you doing better now, would you say?
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Yep. And in part from, I mean, they also have a thankless and underrated shelter in Eau Claire with the combination of the community table and that shelter, you know, got me through a dark period. And yep, I'm absolutely doing much better.
Mm-hmm. Casey, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your personal story. TJ, what would you like to say?
Thank you, Casey, for your support. We're glad we can be of service to you.
Mm, that is so moving, and it must make you feel so good about a positive experience for one of your guests, TJ.
Yes, that's always the end game, is to see those positives as we interact with guests, even as small as it may be, with just a smile and they're leaving full, to they come back, you know, years later and they might be a volunteer wanting to give back because they're on a different path and doing much, much better. So, yes, definitely like those small wins.
Mm, do you find that you have people who have come to you, turn around years later and become volunteers?
Yes, we do have that occasionally. We also have it where we've had volunteers that were here serving as kids, and now they have kids of their own, so they bring their children here to volunteer. Mm-hmm. So that's been a rewarding experience as well to see, too.
Liz, earlier we talked with Brad Paul, leads the Wisconsin Community Action Program Association, and the BRIC Ministries recently joined the statewide group to discuss homelessness in Ashland County. What came up at the listening session?
Well, there was a range of folks who joined the conversation, some landlords, service providers, a few folks who with some lived experience as well. And I think what we came up with is that this issue is not going away anytime soon. A huge factor is just the lack of affordable housing.
Hmm. And that is an issue both in rural areas, sparsely populated areas where you are, as well as an urban issue. And what I think I hear is that it's just maybe some different ways to tackle it and to address it. How do you look at the contrast between a rural and an urban area issue?
Well, a big factor in providing affordable housing is how do we attract developers. In such a sparsely populated area, we don't have enough people to support a large development. And so developers, just really many, are not interested in coming to a remote place like Ashland and Bayfield counties because it's not, you know, it's not quote unquote worth it. So that's a big factor. How do we get developers to come up and work on what we would in general terms consider a small scale project rather than a large scale project?
I wonder, TJ, in the people who come to the community table to eat, how are they struggling with finding housing that is permanent and that is affordable?
Yeah, that is a huge struggle in Eau Claire to find affordable housing. We have lots of developments, but the developments are not affordable for those residents that are here. There's lots of barriers that they can't get to that housing, be it, you know, their backgrounds or whatever. And landlords and property developers here, you know, really have the cream of the crop of who they want to pick. So they might post for one location, and within minutes they have 50 to 100 applicants for that one location. Mm-hmm. So unless you can rise to the top of that pile, you're kind of sorted out really quickly. And so it's a struggle for our guests to find housing in our area.
That is TJ Atkins with the Community Table in Eau Claire. Liz Seafelt is here with the Brick Ministries working on this issue in northern Wisconsin. You can join in with your questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Anne with us in northern Wisconsin. Anne, hi. What would you like to share?
I would like to share information regarding the Rural Care and Share food shelf, which serves only once a month, but it's better than nothing. In Iron River, Wisconsin, at Our Savior's Lutheran Church. And the food distribution is from 9 to 11 on that third Saturday of every month. And just want to get the word out so we maybe have more people coming. Not that, you know, we don't want more people to have issues with hunger, but we know they're out there.
Oh, thank you for sharing that information, Anne, in Iron River. You know, we're approaching winter. It means people who are unsheltered can face dangerously cold temperatures. Liz, how do you plan to support people in the months ahead?
Well, we work with a few key hotels, motels in the area to offer vouchers. A big player is our CAP agency's shelter that's located in Ashland, but it only has a finite number of rooms, and it does not have enough rooms to support all the folks without permanent housing. So it's really working with a lot of different partners. We're grateful that the two tribes, the Bad River and Red Cliff, bands of Lake Superior Chippewa, will be opening their warming shelters for the season. All these different organizations together kind of make sure that we're connecting with each other to provide shelter for folks without permanent housing.
Liz and TJ, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
Liz Seafelt, Executive Director of the Brick Ministries in Ashland. TJ Atkins, Executive Director of the Community Table in Eau Claire. Here on the show, we're producing a range of conversations about homelessness and housing insecurity. You can find links to our recent conversations and this ongoing coverage, and share all your program ideas as well. Connect with us at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.